The book of Exodus, chapter 15, verse 1, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. And I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchedst out thy right hand. The earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall fear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestine. Them the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till thy people pass over, which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, where thou shalt make for thee to dwell in, or thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. The horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a thimble in her hand. And all the women went out after her with thimbles and with dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. He went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. We end our reading there, and God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Some time ago, we were studying in the life of God's servant Moses. And as we looked in the life of God's servant Moses, we witnessed how that the hand of God was upon the children of Israel in days of great adversity and days of great suffering. We followed Moses from the day that God gave him to his mom and dad. And from that little child, we saw him, and there we saw him growing up, and how that God had allowed him to be in the king's palace. And then how that God had taken him and put him in the backside of the desert and was looking after the sheep. And then at an old age, how that God called him to be leader of his people, to lead them out of the land of Egypt. and through the wilderness. Together we see the children of Israel in a time of testing with God's servant Moses. They come to the Red Sea. And there they're surrounded on every hand and on every side. We see them indeed in a day of extremity. And yet that day of extremity became God's day of opportunity. The day whenever they cried unto the Lord that God would deliver them. That God would bring them through. That God would reach forth His mighty hand. We sang it this morning. When Israel out of bondage came and a sea before them lay, the Lord reached down His mighty hand and He rolled the sea away. Then forward still to Jehovah's will. Though the billows dash and spray, thank God today He can roll the sea away. And so today, as we see the Lord moving amongst His children here, and the armies of Egypt have been destroyed in the watery grave, in the end of chapter 14, verse 30-31, let's read these words. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord, and they believed the Lord, and they believed His servant Moses. And truly they could say like the psalmist, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof they're glad. And friend, that is why that when you come to the next chapter, you find them singing. You find the joy of the Lord because God has done great things for them. A nation, a people of slaves that were fleeing from the wicked hands of their Egyptian masters. And praise God, now they're standing at the other side of the Red Sea. They're no longer in bondage, but God has brought them onto the other side. And they are completely emancipated. They are completely delivered from the old enemy. And praise God, Egyptians will never again destroy the children of Israel. So as they stand on the shore, can you see it? And as they stand on the shore there on the other side of the Red Sea, and they look and they see the dead bodies of the Egyptians. Yes, it says, the Lord saved Israel that day. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did. And they realized that this victory was of God. And friends, suddenly their emancipation turned to jubilation. And that's what I want us to come to this morning, chapter 15. Because here we hear the song. Here we see the children of Israel that were in bondage, but now we can hear them singing. Their hearts are rejoicing. They're filled with happiness. They're filled with joy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And God's children ought to be the happiest people in all the world because of what the Lord has done for us. The Lord have done great things for us. Listen, if you're saved in the service this morning, if your sins are covered in the precious blood, if you're a child of God, if you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ, are you not happy in the Lord? Are you not rejoicing in what God has done? You say, but preacher, there are problems in my life. Yes, there are. There are difficulties. Yes, there are. There are days of adversity. Yes, there are. But oh, friend, listen, get your eyes upon the Lord. Because the Lord saved Israel. The Lord saved them. And thus God saved them out of the Egyptian hand. And thank God, let me tell you, the God who saved Israel, praise God, He'll bring us through. He'll bring you through. Remember that this morning. God will bring His children through. Now very simply, notice the people sing. Go to verse 1 of chapter 15. Thus sang Moses and the children of Israel. And what I want you to notice is this. There is an absolute unity in the song that has been sung. It says, thus sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. You know, it's only a short moment, a short time ago, they weren't singing. In actual fact, instead of singing, friend, they were doing the very opposite. They were crying. Remember we met them, go back, just turn your Bible back to chapter 3 and verse, chapter 3 of the book of Exodus, and go back to verse number 7. And it says this, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry." And there we find the children of Israel. Instead of singing, the children of Israel are crying. Go back to chapter 2 in verse number 24. "And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel. And God had respect unto them." Notice, this is what they were doing, friend. They were groaning. And the Bible says they were crying. But now, glory to God, they're singing. They're singing praises unto the Lord. You see, God heard their groaning. And as God heard the groaning of the children of Israel, let me tell you, my friend, they were in bondage, and they were enduring bondage because, indeed, many ways because of their forgetting the Lord. But God remembered his covenant. They didn't deserve what God was doing here among his people, but God remembered his covenant. God remembered the covenant he made with Abraham. He remembered the covenant he made with Isaac. He remembered the covenant that he made with Jacob. And God, as he looked upon the children of Israel, God had respect unto them and to the covenant that he had made. And God said, "Listen, I have seen the affliction of the people which are in Egypt, my people." And he said, "I have heard their cry." And he said, "I know their sorrows." And he said, "I am come down to deliver them." And here we find, first of all, they're crying. But notice, something's happened. What's happened, friend? Their sighing has turned to singing. Why? Because God saved Israel. God delivered them. And their sighing has been turned into singing, and their groaning has been turned into praising. Praising the Lord, God's deliverance inspired them to sing. We sang this morning, the children of the Lord have a right to shout and sing. For our ways are growing bright and our souls are on the wing, are going by and by to the palace of a king. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Brethren and sisters, this world's not our home. This world's not your final resting place. This world is a world of sorrow. It's a world of tears. It's a world of trials. Yes, God has blessed us again and again. And God has been good to us again and again in this world. But glory to God, there's a greater day that's coming. Oh, look up, brethren. Look up, sisters. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. And there's a deliverance. Glory to God. He's going to deliver us. It says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous," Psalm 34, "but the Lord delivereth them out of them all." And if your heart's groaning this morning, listen, my friend, get your eyes upon the Lord and see the hand of God in the midst of it all. And see the deliverances of God and say, "The Lord hath done great things for me, whereof I ought to be glad." Instead of sighing, we ought to be singing. But I want you to notice something. I said there was a unity in the song. Because I want you to notice the way the Holy Ghost put it down. Look at verse 1. "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel." And here's the person singing. "Moses and the children of Israel. This song unto the Lord and spake saying." Notice it doesn't say "we." "I will sing unto the Lord." Because there was one. "I will. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously." Verse 2, "The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him an habitation." Notice the unity. It wasn't, "He is our strength." No, it's "my," because they were singing it as one person. They were singing it together as one. It was the individual song of every heart. Every child of God could sing it individually because it was their personal experience. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my God. I will sing unto the Lord. You see, every one of them out of personal experience could sing it. Because it was true to them. Let me ask you, can you really sing that this morning? Have you the personal experience, brethren and sisters, in this house of God this morning? That personal experience. But the family of God can sing it, yes, as a personal testimony. But there's something else. But they sang it as a personal testimony together. In other words, it was a one. There was a oneness. There was a unity among the persons that were singing. Notice the first word of chapter 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel. When? When God had saved them. When God had delivered them. That goes back to chapter 14. The last verse is God had saved them. The Lord had delivered them. And it was then. And of course, you can't sing the new song, friend. You can't sing the new song of deliverance. Moses and the Lamb. You can't sing it. If you're not saved, if you've never been to Jesus, if you've never trusted in Him as your Savior, you can't sing it. It's not your song. Listen, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The Lord is my strength, my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation, my Father's God. I will exalt Him. Here's a personal experience. A personal experience. And yet a united experience. They sang it as one. Brethren and sisters, that's what we need before God as we go forward with our eldership, as we go forward with our members' committee in the days that lie ahead. We need the oneness of the Spirit of God among us. Because it's blessed and it's good when brethren dwell together in unity. And so there is the person singing. But notice the praise is sung. Because as you'll notice, it says, I will sing unto the Lord. You see, the underlying theme, if you read down this chapter and the song that was sung here, there is an underlying theme. It is the song of victory. The song of victory. It was a song of victory that praises Jehovah God. That was the glorious theme. They were giving all the honor. They were giving all the praise for the salvation. They weren't taking it to man. They were giving the praise to the Lord. Oh, we daren't touch any of the honor, friend. We daren't touch it. You know, when God uses you as a person or uses me as an individual, friend, don't you ever touch God's glory. If God is so ordained to use you in the salvation of a soul, friend, or to use you to lead someone to Jesus Christ, or to use you in a Sabbath school, or as a Sunday school teacher, and my, it blesses your soul when God works in the hearts of your wee children, or those that are working in the youth fellowship and amongst the young people, and you see them, their lives being molded, and you see them maturing, and you see them being blessed, and God has used you to be an encouragement to them, and my, you're a blessing, and somebody comes up to say to you, brother, you're a blessing to my soul. I was blessed through your ministry. I was blessed through your life. I've been watching how you've been living, and I've been blessed as I have seen your maturity in your life. And you know what natural things do? We feel that we are something. Somehow we can feel the spirit of pride coming in. And God's using me. Friend, we put our hand upon the glory of the Lord. And that temptation is there for every child of God. Friend, don't you ever touch God's glory. God forbid that I should glory see Him in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let one of us touch the glory, friend. And when God has elected men to the eldership of this congregation, and God has placed others in the committee of this congregation, let me say to my brethren with all my heart today, remember this. Don't you touch God's honor or God's glory. If God has given you that place and God has put you in that place of responsibility, therein lies a sovereign responsibility before God that you might worship and that you might praise and that you might honor Him alone. You read down that song, you know what you'll find? The theme, the Lord, the Lord. 11 times the Lord's name comes into it. And the personal pronouns referring to the Lord occurs more than 30 times in this song. And the song is sung to the Lord. And the song is sung about the Lord. And all the honor and all the glory of this deliverance and this salvation is laid alone at the Lord's feet. Notice, it says, thus sang Moses and the children of Israel. Now, Moses was a leader. But you'll notice in the song, friend, there's no mention of Moses. No mention of Moses at all. Because, you see, all the glory had got to go to the Lord. Moses himself had to be cast aside completely. And their eyes were upon the Lord. Now, very quickly this morning, you notice that the song that is here could be divided in two. There is the retrospective part of the song. And there is the prospective nature of the song. In other words, there's the looking back. And then there's the looking forward. You see, not only were they praising the Lord for what He had done, but they were looking to the Lord for what He was going to do. In other words, it was not only the spirit of exaltation, but there was the spirit of expectation. That God was going still to do greater things. That God wasn't finished with them. But that God was going to continue the work. And that God would continue the blessing in their lives. Brethren and sisters, we as a congregation have not arrived. We have got not only to look back, yes, and exalt the name of the Lord. Yes, there's got to be the exaltation of the Lord and the jubilation in what God has done for us. But there has to be the spirit of expectation. And in this song, there's the retrospective and there is the prospective nature of the song. Let's think just for a moment. Do you see the retrospective, looking back? Well, notice first of all, the sweet success. Verse number one. Then sang Moses, the children of Israel, this song unto the Lord and spake on, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath, their sweet success, He hath triumph gloriously. This has happened. This is past now. He hath triumphed gloriously. The enemy was there, was challenging the children of God. There they were. They were hemmed in on every side. And yet God had brought them through the Red Sea. And He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath He thrown into the sea. Verse number four. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts hath He cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. Verse number six. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap. And the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. That's what the enemy was saying. But thou didst blow with thy wind. This is what God did for him. This wasn't coming. This was past. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thine hand. The earth swallowed them. And there we see in all of that, friend. We see sweet success. You see, this was the Lord's battle. This was the Lord's battle. Do you remember what Moses, whenever the children of Israel were murmuring against him? In chapter 14, would you go back a wee moment? And you remember as the children of Israel were faced with the enemy coming in behind them, Pharaoh and his armies, boys, they were getting in and they were drawing near. Verse number 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And then they turned against Moses. They blamed him. They said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us? See, they thought this was Moses' battle. Oh, Moses, you're our leader. Let me tell you, friend, Moses was not. The Lord was. This wasn't Moses' battle. This was the Lord's battle. The Lord is a man of war. That's what it says in the chapter 15, verse 3. The Lord is a man of war. And this was God's battle. And although man couldn't see what God was doing, what God was simply doing, my friend, was God was laughing at the enemy. God was sucking them into the sea. And God was going to destroy them. And God was going to save the children of Israel. And all they could think of was graves. We're going to die. How many times have you thought, friend, in the midst of your battle, how many times did you blame God for bringing you into the battles you've gone or you're going through? And boy, you think that you're just, everything's lost. Instead of getting your eyes upon God, who's a God of victory. This was a song of victory. And as they look back, they realized, here's the sweet success, friend. But this was God's success. And the children of Israel, as they thought that the approaching armies of Egypt, they thought of graves. They thought of graves. But go to verse 13 of chapter 14. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you. And ye shall hold your peace. It was God's battle. It's God's battle. Let me tell you, friend, if you're remaining true to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're standing up for the crown rights of King Jesus, friend, and you're in the midst of a struggle today, and you're going through hard times because of honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, you remember this, it's God's battle. And the Lord is a man of war. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, don't be tempted to act in the flesh. Don't be tempted to do something that you regret, friend, because you'll do it in the flesh, and that's all you'll get out of it. It's fleshly. Fleshly action. But oh, when it's in the Spirit of God, I'll tell you, listen, the Lord shall fight for you. And the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And the Egyptians were a mighty army, and the children of Israel were nobodies. But God brought them through. You remember the promises of God, friend. Stand on the promise. If God give you a promise, stand on the promises of God. Wait for it. Wait for it. The promises of God will succeed. Thank God there's nothing that God has promised that God will fail. Listen, the world may look upon you as losers. But thank God, if you're standing for Christ, you're on the side of sweet success. For the battle is the Lord. That's the first thing. Sweet success. But notice not only sweet success here, but notice the saints' strength here. Verse number 2. The Lord is my strength and my song. The Lord is my strength and my... You know, when you look at the Egyptian, my, you think of strength. Look at verse 4. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts. It's not strength. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts. My, that's the strength of the arm of the flesh. That's the strength of man. You say, but listen, I'm no match for the strength of man. I'm no match for the chariots that are coming against me. Go down to verse 6, friend, and you'll see it. Thy right hand, O Lord, is glorious in power. There's strength. Verse number 7. In the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. That's strength. Look at verse 8. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together, and the flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. Brethren, says that strength, the blast of God's nostrils. That's all it took. And the water stood up. Let me tell you, friend, just as blood is, you see congealed blood. Well, listen, that's exactly what God did with the waters. He just congealed them in the heart of the sea. Did you see that before? That's strength. Look at verse 10. Thou didst blow with thy wind, and the sea covered them, and they sank as lead in the mighty waters. I suggest to you, brethren and sisters, that strength, all it is, he blew. And they sank like lead. You see those chariots that were to be their strength? Let me tell you, instead of being their helps, they were their hindrances. God knocked the wheels of their chariots. All the enemy strong, listen, friend. The powers of hell that come against the child of God is mighty. You can't laugh them off, but I want to tell you this. God who sits in the heavens can laugh and does laugh. And God can turn the very things that are their helps. God can make them their hindrances. You see, this song is about the strength of God, friend, not man. This is not glorifying man. God forbid that I should glory. But this is when God steps in. That's what it says in verse number 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? And then verse 12. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, and the earth swallowed them. That's strength. That's strength. Listen, we don't need the arm of the flesh this morning to destroy the enemy. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, friend. But don't forget the rest of the story. Although our weapons are not carnal, they are mighty. The weapons that God's children have are mighty to the pulling down of the strongholds of Satan. Yes, we shall overcome. The right hand speaks of power. It speaks of omnipotence. There's nothing that can overcome the power of God. Sweet success. Do you see it? The same strength, the Lord is my strength, my song. And then thirdly, secured salvation. Verse number 2. The Lord is my strength and song, he is become my salvation. He is my God. And I will prepare him an habitation, my Father's God. and I will exalt him. He's become my salvation. The Lord saved. What does it say in chapter 14, verse 30? The Lord saved Israel. What a testimony, friend. The Lord has become my salvation. He's the one. The Lord delivered me. The Lord saved me. The Lord saved me. And friend, when I think about salvation, I think of the greatness of the salvation. My, this was a great salvation, wasn't it? Wasn't this a great deliverance? It was so great the children of Israel were standing singing, where a few short hours ago they were sighing. And they're standing singing because God had delivered them. Egypt was defeated. Listen, never again would Egypt destroy the children of Israel. Never again. The greatness of salvation. Oh, think of our salvation. Thank God at Calvary's Hill, the Lord Jesus Christ fought for me. Thank God there on Calvary's cross, he shed his precious blood that I might be saved, that the devil's power over me might be destroyed. And thank God, that's why Hebrews 2 verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The greatness of salvation. Let me give you this. I'm going to finish this morning. Listen, the greatness of salvation. Secondly, the grace of salvation. Go to verse 13. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Let's be honest, friend. Israel had been stubborn. Israel didn't deserve God's salvation. It says in the last verse of chapter 14, Israel saw the great work which the Lord had did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. But friend, let me tell you, they were slow in believing, weren't they? When the enemy was encroaching upon them, instead of believing, they were trembling with fear. They were overcome by the enemy. But now they see the deliverance of the Lord, and they realize that this has been the deliverance of God, and they believe the Lord. They believe it. But I want to show you something. God didn't deliver them because of their merit. God delivered them because of his mercy. That's what it says in verse 13, chapter 15. Thou in thy mercy hath led forth the people. We see the greatness of salvation. We see the grace of salvation. We see the grandeur of salvation. Go to verse 13 again. Thou in thy mercy hath led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. These people were redeemed. Go to verse 16. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. You see, redemption involves a price. And a purchasing. And God has redeemed these people, and they were purchased. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Ye are not your own, ye are bought with a price. We are purchased by the precious blood of our precious Lord. Let's go back to verse 13 very quickly. The guide of salvation. It says, Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people whom thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. And praise God, friend, that's exactly when we're saved, we will be guided by the Spirit of God. We are led by the Spirit. We are led by the Spirit. God will guide us with His eye, and afterward He'll receive us to glory. Thank God, God has promised by His Holy Spirit to guide us. Psalm 32 and verse 8, Psalm 48 verse 14, Psalm 73 verse 24. Think about the guidance, the promised guidance of God for His people. He's promised to guide you. He doesn't save you and then leave you on your own to find the rest of the journey through. No, friends, listen, He has set the race before you. And praise God, the race that God has set before you, He will guide you with His eye. He will guide you. He'll give you the guidance to run the race that is set before you with patience. Glory to God. Afterward, He'll receive you to glory. But here's the last thought. The gladness of salvation. Then sang Moses, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song. It's the song of salvation. Miriam joined in, and the woman joined in. And friend, I tell you this, there was jubilation amongst the whole people. Sing unto the Lord, and you saw, O happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may the glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad, happy day, happy day. When Jesus washed my sins away, they were happy in salvation. Oh, may God give me a dose of happiness in Christ. May God give you that too, friend. May you be a happy Christian. May you be like Billy Sunday. He was so happy in the Lord. He says if they put him into a barrel, he says he would shout glory through the bunghole. He was that happy in the Lord. The song of Moses and the children of Israel. May God help you and me to sing it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your leading and guiding in our lives thus far. Thank you for your hand upon this people, this congregation. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that's bowed in thy presence this morning. And thou knowest the hearts of everyone. Thou knowest their condition in thy sight. But, oh God, may there be a work of grace done in every heart. May not one leave thy house today without knowing the Lord and walking with Him in the light of His Word. Bless us, our Father, in the days ahead, and give us great times in thy presence that we might ever praise thee for what thou hast done. But, O God, what you're still going to do, bless your name. For Jesus' sake.